let's just go. Let's just get it. Let's just push this button. Oh, wait. I got it. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Wake up, eat a bagel, go back to bed. That sounds like a solid fucking day. That sounds like you put in a... You put it in. If that's a good omen or a bad omen for the day to have that play this early in the morning. What the fuck is this?
You bad monster truck!
What even is this? I don't... Why is this...
Goodbye. wanted a friend. Robbie just wanted a friend. When one entered his den, it was his end.
Give me the virus and put me in the ground. Save me from this. Soundtrack to The Spirits Within, a Final Fantasy movie. Great. Everyone's favorite Final Fantasy property. I believe him when he says he sells the best coke, because he sure as fuck can't rap. Turn it up, son. Okay, I'll turn it up. up in my headphones, y'all. Yeehaw. It's time to get busy in this here motherfucker. Motherfucker.
Oh, she put her beard down. Here she comes, here she comes. Left, 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 right, left. Who's shooting eight ball, throwing bars at the wall. Feeling down there 10 feet tall. Here she comes, Lord help us all. OD dug his girlfriend and slapped him out his chair.
Like Donkey Kong. That's basically what it said there. So I get, you know, I was gonna say, is there one? How many trap remixes slash covers of this must exist? Special birthday coming up. and I want to get a facial.
Joking. I'm sorry.
Look, you might call it the mafia, but to me and us wise guys from around the block, it's just family. Shot in the head, back from the grave, left for dead, I'm licking clay. Just got back from Vietnam, gonna shoot guns and building bombs. Got a new job, with room to grow, about to take over everything in New Bordeaux. And make it my city, everyone pays, one day late and I'll break your leg. Everything that I do I do violently, there's just no way, no silence. We are taking over this town, going full the auto, wrecking like Lucky Luciano. Revenge is what I'm baking while I'm stealing cash and interrogating. From the metal to the metal of my suit of pride, I don't leave witnesses alive.
Oh,
shit.
Your podcast, Mr. Joe Rogan. Your podcast, no one smoke.
My podcast, Elon Smoke.
Get the hottest podcast on the net. We're gonna keep
this is about this guy's podcast. This is a guy rapping about Joe Rogan's podcast.
Joe said, homie, you just didn't smoke enough. Your podcast, dead ass broke. Mr. Joe Rogan.
That's
podcast, nobody smoke. My podcast, Elon Smoke.
Flat Earth all day, every day. So flat, I can feel myself slide in this big fifth. Give me podcast cheddar. Jamie hit the mic, we the baddest mother out. Your podcast, dead ass.
Fuck.
In England, during the reign of King Edward III, there lived a poor orphan boy named Dick Whittington.
Sure.
Dick had no home, and food was scarce, so he grew up a very hungry and thin boy, who was always dreaming of a table full of lovely food and a nice big warm bed to sleep in. Sometimes, Dick heard people talk about London, the big city that was the capital of England then. Just as it is today. The way people talked made it sound as if everyone in London was a very rich lady or gentleman. "I've heard that the streets are paved with gold," they'd say to each other as they passed by Dick. And that made him imagine a grand city with gold pavements where, if you were hungry, you could break off a bit of gold and take it to the baker's or the pie maker's to exchange for some lovely bread or a hot meat pie. The more he thought about it, the more he thought the only way to make his fortune was to leave the village and go to London. One day, he decided it was time to leave, and as he set off down the lane, a large wagon pulled by four beautiful horses came along beside him.
It sounded a little bit like this.
"Where are you off to, my boy?" asked the driver, looking down at Dick. "I'm going to London, sir," shouted Dick, "where the streets are paved with gold."
"Are they indeed?" laughed the driver. "Jump up next to me as I'm going to London and I can take you all the way there."
Eventually, the wagon rolled into London, and Dick couldn't believe his eyes. The buildings were so big and tall, and the streets were full of horses and carriages, and so many people. Indeed, He'd never seen so many people in one place. But as much as Dick searched the roads and pavements, he couldn't find any that were made of gold. They all seemed to be made of stone or dirt, just like in his home village. Dick begged on the streets for a few pence to buy food and lodgings, but people in London weren't as kind as the people in his village, and for 3 days he slept in the open on street corners and had nothing to eat. On the fourth day, due to his lack of food, the house of a rich merchant. The cook, who was a very cross woman who didn't like beggars, came rushing out of the house waving a big rolling pin. "Be off with you, you lazy boy," she shouted at Dick, "or I'll soak you with my dirty dishwater."
At that
moment, the merchant, who was a very kind man, arrived back at his house. "Now then, cook, what's all this?" he asked.
"I'm sorry, sir," said Dick. "I fainted on your step, as I've had nothing to eat for so many days now. Can you spare me some bread?"
The merchant looked Dick up and down. "Why don't you work to earn your bread, my boy?" he asked.
"I would be very happy to work, sir," replied Dick. "But I've only recently arrived in London, and I don't know anyone or how to go about getting a job."
"Then you can work for me," smiled the merchant. "But let's get you inside first and get you cleaned up and fed." The merchant was as good as his word, and Dick was taken indoors and given a lovely warm bath, some clean clothes, and a lovely meal. He rested until he was able to work. Dick would have been very happy with his new life, as he now had enough to eat, a roof over his head, and the merchant's daughter Anne was so pretty and was always nice to him. But there were two things that stopped him from thinking his dreams had been answered. Firstly, he was set to work in the kitchen with the cook, who was always angry and threatening Dick with a large ladle, calling him an idle, good-for-nothing boy. The other problem was his room in the attic. The attic walls were full of holes, and every night he was kept awake by mice and even rats that ran around and over his bed. As soon as he had saved some pennies, Dick bought himself a tabby cat, who was an excellent mouse scarer. The cat soon had Dick's attic clear of all the mice and rats. She scared them off with her big white teeth and long claws. So Dick could now sleep peacefully at night, even though his days were still made miserable by the nasty cook.
Just gotta kill her then, I guess.
The merchant announced to everyone in the house that he was sending one of his ships on a trading voyage, and he was letting all of his servants send something of their own to sell. Poor Dick had nothing, except for his cat. "Sir," said Dick, "I'd like to send my cat."
"Oh, you stupid boy," bellowed the cook. "Whoever would want to buy your mangy cat?"
Now, cook," said the kind merchant, turning to Dick. "I shall give her to the ship's captain and tell him to look after her. And if anyone buys her, then the money shall be yours." So Dick went back to sleeping amongst the mice and rats. And as the days went by, the cook got even more angry and even more short-tempered with him, and made his days more and more miserable. Finally, Dick decided he'd had enough and that he should go back to his village. So, early one morning, he set off back towards the countryside. As the sun rose in the sky, Dick sat down to rest on a hill that was right on the edge of the city. Some nearby church bells began to ring, and as Dick listened, they seemed to say, "Turn again, Whittington, 3 times Mayor of London. Turn again, Whittington, 3 times Mayor of London.
What?
Over and over they rang, and over they seemed to say the same thing. Dick was so amazed that he decided to return to the kind merchant's house and put up with the cook and the mice and the rats. Meanwhile, the merchant's ship had landed on the shores of a faraway land, and the king and queen of the land had invited the captain of the ship to dine with them at a specially arranged feast. But before they could sit down to eat, the room was invaded by rats, who ran over all the tables and started to devour the food.
What?
The captain said to the king and queen, "I have something on board my ship that will rid you of all these rats." And he ran back to the ship and got Dick's tabby cat. As soon as the cat saw the rats, she leapt into action, and the rats were terrified and ran away as fast as their little legs could carry them, never to return. The king and queen had never seen a cat before.
What?
Amazing, said the king. I want to buy it from you. I'm not sure I'd want to keep it in the palace, said the queen, who had seen the cat's big white teeth and long claws. It might chase us too. It only chases rats and mice, your majesty, said the captain assuringly. Just then the cat, who was tired out from chasing all of the rats, jumped up on the queen's lap. The queen was too scared to touch the cat until it curled up in her lap and gently purred as it fell asleep. The king and queen were overjoyed to have found a solution to their rat problem, as well as having a loving companion, and they paid the captain the same amount for the tabby cat as they had for the rest of the entire ship's cargo. When the captain returned to London, he gave all of the money he received to the merchant, who in turn was delighted to give Dick the wonderful news of his new fortune and wealth. Dick no longer needed to be a servant, as he was now a rich man. As time went by, Dick grew and became a handsome gentleman.
Tell me more.
He had a house of his own,
and
he soon asked the merchant's daughter Anne to marry him and to share his good fortune as his wife.
And Dick grew again.
They lived a long and happy life together, and he became Sir Richard Whittington, and three times during his life he served as Mayor of London. And all of this was because of his wonderful tabby cat.
Sold into servitude. This song came on a couple days ago or last week, whenever it was. I was also driving right here on Lombard, the exact same stretch.
My sister, stress her with me. Rent her help us. up in the morning, it's 12:45, and you want to have a little fun. You brush your teeth.
If I wake up and it's 12:45.
When you wake up in the morning, it's 12:45, and you want to find something to do. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth.
I don't know, man.
And when you wake up in the morning, it's 2:45, and your mind starts humming, twiddle-dee-dee. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. When you wake up in the morning, it's 3:45, and you think you hear a knock on your door. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. When you wake up in the morning, it's 4:45, and you just can't wait to come alive. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth. You brush your teeth.
No, no, I just, that doesn't, it doesn't make sense, man. I just glanced over because I'm stuck in this tunnel. Did you say Ono is in charge of the esports division for Capcom now? Is that the... Is that what you're saying? Okay. Man. I mean, yeah, that's, sounds like something Capcom would do. They don't fire people. Most of the time. They just say things like, "You're in charge of this now." "You're in charge of this Dark Mega Man game that we're going to eventually cancel now. You're in charge of esports now." The story I always heard is that, you know, out of the gate, and you know, the game's been on sale long enough that maybe this is balanced out, but I don't think so. Maybe, whatever, but, like, the sales of that game were so far off the mark from projections. That it just, yeah, like, no one came out of that feeling like, yeah, we did it. It was just like, oh, shit. Well, we got to keep supporting this thing because there's some kind of Evo whatever, whatever. But it's clear that this is not going to break through in a meaningful way. Yeah, I mean, if Tekken 7 outsold Street Fighter 5, I feel like that's a, like, not, that's not a knock against Tekken. I think Tekken 7 is a hell of a game, but if a Street Fighter game cannot outsell Tekken, then wrap it the fuck up for a while. Get somebody else in there. I don't know. You hear a lot of stories about that dude. It's just like, yeah, that doesn't seem like who I'd want running this. Anyway, so. Maybe not the best ideas for how to foster this thing and grow this. Which then to say, well, yeah, I guess, like, whatever, yeah. Put him in charge of esports as all the esports events are getting canceled. I guess that's one way to do it. Everyone likes Ono. Yeah. Everyone. He's a very colorful public figure. And people like that. Fans like that, I guess, is the word for that. But I... I'm sure there's some people who work at Capcom that might have a different thing or two to say about that if asked off the record. I don't know. People love the little Blanca! Ringtone here. When they say my boy's got his own ringtone, this is the ringtone they're talking about.
It's that girl with the big tits and the booming ass is calling. Woo!
fighting games seem weird, like in a weird spot for sure right now. You are right. Maybe things aren't going great. Like I think there are certainly good games out there. And Mortal Kombat 11 was like, wasn't it like the number two selling game for, it was like the best selling game of the year until Call of Duty came out, I want to say. It was up there, but I mean, you know, doesn't necessarily, like, Mortal Kombat is obviously like an anomaly, or it's a separate thing. Like, it has a different level of appeal to a different audience that doesn't necessarily indicate the health of the genre or esports surrounding it one way or the other, right? Because Mortal Kombat is such a thing. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily indicate that they can foster a huge community of ongoing players, you know? They're going to attract people that play the story mode and think Scorpion is sick as fuck. And that's it. Street Fighter never even really did that. After Street Fighter 2, right? I mean, like, it never had that type of appeal since the fucking SNES days. Yes, the fighting game community complaining about Arxis' netcode and Arxis, yeah. So think about that. Think about what that must mean, right? What it means is there's no business opportunity around fixing their netcode. And the, you know, I think when it comes to selling games and all that other stuff, like, the fighting game community can only account for so much. And if that's all your game's going to sell, if your game's only going to appeal to that player, then it's not a viable product. Like, on the, it's not, you know, going to be a major product. And they probably don't need to give a shit, you know, like, for especially for a game like Granblue, like, they don't really need to care. Sucks, you know, like, Rollback is good, but, you know, Rollback is like, you also, I think you get a lot of people just shouting Rollback at everything without understanding that that's not as easy as it sounds in some cases, you know, when you think about, like, the, the amount of states you have to save and the ability to, you know, whether you're, like, running a, it's almost like the run-ahead stuff in RetroArch, where it's like they're running a full second version, the second instance of the entire game in the background that they can swap to at any time, right? Like, Rollback is not entirely like that, but it is resource-intensive in a way that other stuff is not. So if you're not building for that out of the gate and accounting for that overhead, I guess, then it's not as easy as just, like, slapping the Rollback, here we go! Like, it's not. Yeah, it's something that affects a lot of other decisions you might be making about your game. And then you have to prioritize, like, hey, what is our netcode our number one priority? Like, you'd like to think it's a high priority. Like, as someone who cares about that genre and wants to play it online and play it well, you'd be like, man, I yes, of course, I would want that. But how many people are in that bucket where that's the most important thing to them? Or like, the potential sacrifices you might have to make in other areas of the game to prioritize that. Is that worth it for the sales targets you're trying to hit and all that other stuff? It's always more complicated than people on the internet seem to want to think, I guess, is the short version of every answer about people talking about video games or anything. Like, it's never as simple as, well, I've cooked up this conspiracy theory about this, and I'm pretty sure it's that. I think it means this. Like, it's the, yeah, like, you can draw some parallels to that, to people talking about what Mahardy's doing next, for example. And looking for every little clue and every little this. Well, I think it means that this is happening and they didn't want to do this and they're doing this and that. And it's like, nothing's ever... nothing ever works the way people seem to think that... Like the people would gin up in their heads. And I'm sure when it comes to prioritizing fighting game netcode, it's never as easy as just do it. I think it's why that... the Street Fighter mod that changed the netcode stuff, that then people got all up in arms when Capcom made their changes and stuff, was just like, it was the sort of thing you could see coming from a mile away. It was just like, this mod fixes it. It only took a guy 2 days to do it, so fuck Capcom. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that it's probably a little more complicated than that. And that's, you know, like, but at the same time, I don't necessarily want to give Capcom too much benefit of the doubt. Honestly, I don't think they're in a place where they have that currency anymore with stuff. So, or at least with fighting games. So, there's always the possibility that, yeah, maybe it is that easy. But on some level, if change that affected players and made it better for everyone, and blah 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 blah. Was really that easy, they would have actually done it. Because they still, you know, they still patch that game often enough that if you could make that change and slide it in there, you'd be like, well, we might as well. We're making all these other changes to add more Red Bull costumes or whatever the fuck we're doing. It's the thing I try to, you know, I think the thing I try to, you know, there are certainly cases where I think I know what I want out of a change in a game or something like that, but that's why I don't really try to offer solutions when we're criticizing games a lot of the time. There's certainly some times where it's like, man, if it had this, where that makes sense, but never like, man, I can't believe they didn't do this very easy thing. It's like, no, I don't fucking know. Like, I can tell you that I don't necessarily like a way a gun fires, but I can't necessarily tell, like, I don't feel comfortable saying, like, they should balance the game this way. Because they've got access to the numbers, and I usually don't, and... And And so I think, you know, like, I think you have to limit, you know, like, I can't tell people how the game should be made. If I was that good at doing that, I would be doing that. And I think that, like, people that give their criticism of a game in the context of all they need to do is this, this, and this, I can't believe they're not doing it. Like, that's useless feedback. Because, like, who the fuck are you? And, you know, and you have some cases where you have people that are, like, ex-game devs or whatever that are out there giving that criticism. And it's like, ah, you know, you're not inside of this studio looking at the data and looking at this and that. So I just think that's, like, kind of an asshole-ish way to approach this stuff. I don't know. Anyway, I gotta go. I'm here. So, have a good Friday. Esports. Esports!